This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, I'm Ross Matthews.
And I'm Ross's bestie since high school, Bethy Hungerford.
And even though we live on opposite sides of the country, we talk on the phone every single day. And what do we talk about most?
Food!
Yes, food! And your non-existent dating life.
Oh my God.
But mostly food.
I'm a cookbook author.
Yeah, you are. And I've taken the reins of my health by cooking every single day. I call them my recipes. They crack the code on delicious food that's actually good for you.
And now we're sharing the food-obsessed convos we have every day with all of you.
Yep, it's all about food, friends, and fun. This is Hello Recipes, and welcome to the program. Hi, it's me, Ross. And Bethy, are you there? Hello? No, she's not here. She's in London. Yeah, you know, she lived in London for all those years. Anyway, she's there. She's visiting people. So it's just me. But don't worry, I do have a guest coming up. And I'm so excited to tell you about this guest. Really, she's like, she's a big deal in the food world. Like, you know, if you read the New York Times food section, you read her name in there a lot. Lydie Hoik. She is a food blogger and now a brand new cookbook author. She has a cookbook called Cooking in Real Life, Delicious and Doable Recipes for Every Day. It came out March 12th, just came out. Anyway, congratulations, Lydie. And she worked with the Barefoot Contessa, which you know, is like my favorite person on the planet. You know, she reminds me of my mom. I spend so much time with the Barefoot Contessa. I just love her. And I have been following Lydie ever since I've been following the Barefoot Contessa because I was like, who, what, you work with her? And then I fell as in love with Lydie as I am with Ina, the Barefoot Contessa. And anyway, so Lydie's going to be on today. I cannot wait to talk to her. And I'm sorry, apologies to those of you who are like, is the podcast late this week? Yeah, it is. It is. Sorry. Missy in the Facebook group, or the Recipes Facebook group said, is the podcast late? And then Jesse, another recipe, wrote, maybe it's frozen, which of course was a freezer reference. Jesse said, freezer reference. Sorry, I had to. LOL. Freezer update. I went to the store. I posted one in the group. And if you don't know, I moved to a new house. You'll be seeing the house soon. I'll be telling you more about it. That's to come. Okay, so stay tuned for that. But it's out in the country, and I want to have a freezer in the garage, like the grown up that I always wanted to be, like my mom was. And so I'm being very particular about it. Also, I have to clean out the garage because the box is moving. You understand? So we're getting there, slowly chipping away. But I'm close enough now that I have ventured to the stores and started opening up the freezers and looking. I know I'm doing the upright. I'm not 100% if I want drawers. Bethy says no, because they all get stuck. Bonnie says she loves her drawers. That's my mom's best friend, Bonnie, who we've got to get on the show. So anyway, I've gone from like browsing online to physically going into the stores. So I went to like the Home Depot. I went there. I'm going to go to a bunch of different ones. I want to go into the Best Buy, all of that. Or the Costco, whatever. But I'm still taking recommendations. So please, if you love your freezer, make a video and post it in the Recipes Facebook group. Go to recipes.com. All the links are there. It's free. Do it. It's fun. But I need help. It's like a big purchase. I don't want to pick the wrong one. And then every time I go, like daily, open the freezer, go, why didn't I get the one with the... I just found out you have to get garage-friendly ones. What is that? I don't even know. But because one of you told me garage-friendly, and then it's got to be like freezer burnt proof or... frost proof, I think is, there's so much, who knew, right? I mean, it's like a whole other language I'm learning, but I'm excited. I want to do it right. That happens, I think, when you get older. You start thinking, I'm not going to do impulse buys. I can't tell you how many times, like when I was younger, I bought things because I wanted it in the moment, and I just probably should have read an article or waited a second. But what are you going to do? Like, you know, you don't know what you know until you know it. But how are you supposed to know that? I don't know. My dog Audrey is sitting here sleeping next to me. She is such a picky eater, you guys. If you've watched my Instagram or on my recipes, I showed you that I try to make her food for her. You know, just celebrating 10 years that I've been with her. They found her on the streets of Whitewater outside of Palm Springs in the desert. Can you even imagine just wandering? They said she was like a year and a half. And when I got her, I didn't plan on getting another dog. I just went to brunch. I already had two dogs back then. I went to brunch and I had bottomless mimosas, but I think I found the bottom because then I walked home. We were a little tipsy and there was a dog event, like a dog adoption event. And I said, let's go see the dog. I just want to see him and, you know, make a donation or something. And we walked up and I was like, oh, that's cute. Oh, you're so cute. You're cute. And then I saw this black and brown, perfect little, just perfection, perfect little angel, you know? And she had like, her makeup was already done. You know, that kind of black dog that has like the brown eyebrows and the brown cheekbones. I thought, oh my God, I'd never have to do her makeup. I would save so much time. And I picked her up and she just like rested her little head on my chest. And I just told her, I go, oh, I got you, girl. And we were together ever since. She's like my soul dog, my little Audrey. So now she's anywhere between, you know, 11 and a half and I don't know. But I want her to live forever. So I'm like, of course, researching all the kind, like, what can I be feeding my dog? There's an FDA says they're going to, or is it FDA or whoever, is going to like approve a medication to extend the life of dogs. I want to track down whoever, whatever pharmacy is making that. And like, can I be in the sample group? I talk to every vet I meet. They're like, well, when's that drug coming out? They say it's for big dogs first and then eventually for little dogs. I don't know. But the point is, she's so picky with her food. So I keep mixing it up. I try to buy the expensive stuff. You know what she likes the best? Have you ever been at Target and they have the refrigerated dog food section? It's like a log, but I don't know if it's any good. Am I basically feeding her like compressed dog chicken nugget food? I don't know. So then I buy the fancy food and she's like grossed out by it. What do you feed your dog? Tell me everything. Do you make your own food? And do you freeze it? Oh my God, it all goes back to the freezer. Okay, so here's the deal too. You know, I do love cooking every day. I love making my recipes, making food up. You guys see it on the website. I think I want to do a cookbook next. You know, I have two books, Man Up and Name Drop. I think I want to do a cookbook. I haven't said this out loud yet to anybody, except for my book agent. I told her, I want to do a cookbook. And she said, great, write it. And I was like, oh yeah, that part. So I don't know, maybe we'll develop it together. You know what I mean? What would you want to see in my cookbook? I don't want it to just be the normal cookbook. I want it to be a hybrid of like really doable ways to cook delicious, healthy food that keeps you on track, you know, mixed with little stories and little tips and playlists for music that you can go on a walk with. Like the word that I keep getting stuck on is doable, like real life stuff, real ways we can cook. I shouldn't say hate. I'm annoyed when cookbooks are so fancy that I don't even know where I'd buy the ingredients to cook what's in there. It's no use to me. You know, it's like basically the food version of a romance novel. Okay, that's great. Good for them. Passionate, wild, whatever. But what about every day? So I want to make something like that, which is actually why I love Lydie's book so much. Because she is a fancy food person, but she really made a book that is doable. In fact, you know, the word doable is in the title. Cooking in Real Life, Delicious and Doable Recipes for Every Day. I reached out to Lydie. And I said, you know, I see you have a book coming out. Is there any way you'd want to come on the podcast and talk with me? So guess what? She said yes. Oh my God. I'm not going to ask her about dog food recipes though. But you know, I'm going to be thinking it. Anyway, when we come back, the incredible Lydie Hoik, who is Lydie Likes on Instagram, is here to talk about her brand new book, her love of food, taking a leap, and the Barefoot Contessa. Coming up on Hello Recipes, it's me with Lydie Hoik.
Oh. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And welcome back to the program. A very exciting day for me because, you know, I'm a big fan of food. Hello, recipes. That's the whole point. And I love cookbooks. I love learning from people who also love food. And I'm fascinated by people who have made food their life. So you got to know it's a big deal for me to have our next guest on the program. Lydie Hoik is the author of the brand new cookbook called Cooking in Real Life, Delicious and Doable Recipes for Every Day. Oh, that is the word, doable, right? It came out yesterday, March 12th. It's available now. Everybody go get it. Cooking in Real Life. And Lydie joins me now. Hi.
Hi, Roz. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, it's so exciting for me because I am like a big fan of yours. I'm on your Instagram every day. Like, I feel like every post I heart and
You do give me a lot of love and I appreciate that.
Well, because I feel like, you know, there are people who I buy that they are like legit obsessed, you know, like that I just totally, there's not a single ounce of me that goes, is this real with her? You know, and like you see some people like with a cookbook, you're like, mm-hmm. God bless. but I'm thinking like, do they really know their food? Is there some food stylist doing it for them? I feel like you have a passion for food. You are in the trenches and you have been doing this for a long time now. When did this obsession with food start for you?
You know, it started when I was in college. That's when I first really cooked for myself and my friends, and I would just cook for fun. And it was never really something that I thought or knew you could make a career out of beyond being like a restaurant chef.
Sure, that's right. That's what you think of when you think I make my life right. into food right. is just that cooking on a line in a restaurant, which is so cool. I mean, did you watch The Bear, that show?
Oh my God, I've watched season one of The Bear. I haven't watched season two yet.
Season two is even better. I'm not gonna tell you anything. Yeah. Okay, so, but I mean that, and I'm like, that's not for me. That's too high pressure for me. Right. I don't do well with that, right?
Agree, and the hours, like I go to bed at 10 o'clock. Like I couldn't do it, you know, it wouldn't work.
No, I'm in awe of them, but like, that's not for me. So you go to college thinking that you're gonna go into what?
Like, I love to write. So I don't know, maybe work for a book publisher, which is ironic, or a newspaper, a magazine, like something with writing.
Okay. It just happens that you start cooking. And what did it feel like that you felt like so drawn to it?
There was just something I really liked about cooking for friends and having a reason for people to come around the table and have a really fun night. And in college, we were making, you know, the food wasn't amazing. The wine wasn't amazing, but we would have the best time. And it was like, it was so much fun. And simultaneously, you know, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after I graduated. And I was like, I just don't want to sit in an office, at least right now. Maybe I'll do that eventually. But I wanted to do something fun that felt like an adventure. And I was like, what if I could do something with food for a living that wasn't a restaurant? Mm-hmm. And I had always, I'll just give you the rundown. I had always loved Ina Garten, who we all know, the Barefoot Contessa. And I had watched her show and like had her cookbooks, and my mom had her cookbooks. And I knew that I had this like fourth degree connection to her. And I was like, maybe I could work for her.
You know what? Can I just tell you, I'm going to stop you right here because this is so exactly like, okay. So my obsession, I'm obsessed with food, but I've always been obsessed with like pop culture and talk shows. Right. And it's like this, I was just drawn to it in a way that I couldn't explain. Like even my family was like, you want to what? And I just, And I think anybody who's listening to this, who's drawn to things, who has been drawn to something, understands that it's like, you can't help it. But then what do you do with it? And what I'm finding in our story is like this common denominator. So what I did is I just like knocked down every door I could to get into tonight's show, right? Just let me get in there and I'll work for free. You had a very similar thing where it was like, okay, you decided, well, not decided, you couldn't ignore the pull to food. And then you somehow got your way into working with my number one obsession, Ina Garten, Barefoot Contessa. How did it happen?
So after I had this idea, I thought, I'm just going to write her a letter and I'm going to introduce myself and say, you know, I was 21 at the time. I was like, I could help you with social media because what else can a 21-year-old do?
So wait, when you said letter, do you mean like a typed email or you printed out a letter and put it in the mail?
So funny. I'm going to have to go back and check. I think that it was it was not a handwritten letter. It was either typed and I mailed it, or it was typed and it was like an email that was forwarded. But it was a letter in that it was like a formally thought out thing of like an introduction, almost like a cover letter that you would use to apply for a job. Now, here's who I am.
Thinking back at this, like looking back, can you believe you had the balls to do that?
No, I mean, I think I have to think my parents were kind of raising me to be like, why not? Like, what do you have to lose? But all my friends thought I was delusional. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit delusional, but you know this. It's like, if you want to do something like this, you have to believe in yourself and you have to believe it's possible, or else like you'd never try.
Everyone that asks like, what's the secret to success? My answer is always delusion. You have to be the only person that believes it. You know, my first book was called Man Up, Tales of My Delusional Self-Confidence.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You just have to believe that. Like, of course, Ina Garten's going to write me back or respond to my letter. But the thing is, for you, she did.
She did. I mean, it was almost like freak luck or good timing on my part, because she was looking at that very time for someone to come onto her team and help her with social media. She has a really small team, had then, still does now. And so it was a big deal for her to be looking for someone to join. And so the timing was crazy. And so I went down and like, you know, met her and basically, you know, just shared some ideas and said, you know, I'll do anything else too. I think that's another thing, is you have to be game, like, to be flexible and to show up and say like, this is what I can do, and, you know, put your best foot forward and present this, you know, what you can do to help someone. And
you're so right. You know, when people aren't looking for you, like, you know, like there was never a sign up that said Ross wanted, you know, like we're looking for someone who can
hold your face on it.
Exactly. Yeah. There wasn't a sign up that said Lighty need it, you know, but you just sort of make yourself invaluable and show up. So, okay. You go there, and I just have to say, she writes the foreword for your book, and she must be so proud of you because she worked with you. How long did you work with her there?
Like 6.5 years.
6.5 years. Phenomenal. Okay. So you're there with the best. I like to think about my time at the Tonight Show and everything in the beginning part of my career was like boot camp, because I was with like the best of the best. So what did you learn that confirmed in your heart and soul and your bones and everything about you in that time that food is where you wanted to be?
You know, I think it was like twofold. One side is the recipe, the actual recipe creation side, which is this great challenge of working in the kitchen with your hands, taking an idea and making it, you know, perfecting it. And that was really interesting to me. And that was something I had never even thought about, honestly, like the process of creating a dish. And that's something that I fell in love with. But also the kind of intersection between like cooking and people and bringing people together around food is such a big part of what Ina does. And that's always what I loved about cooking. And so, you know, I would go home after work and on the weekends, and I would cook for my friends, and I would have dinner parties, and I would be like playing around with the things that I'd learned at work. And it was like this connection between cooking for people, sharing recipes with people, and just enjoying food together is really what I love. And so that's what I get to do now with sharing recipes, is like sharing them online and seeing people react and having conversations with people. It's just a really fun kind of culmination of that.
Yeah. And you do it so well on your Instagram. Is it, you write with New York Times, right? You contribute
to
them.
Yeah, for New York Times Cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I subscribe and I see your name. And at first I was like, is that the same lady who I follow? And it's you. And I'm like, that is like, that's some legit cred, you know, and that is so well earned. And you're so young. And this book, the Cooking in Real Life, which just came out, is your first ever cookbook. Sorry, my dog. I don't know if you can hear her. She's excited. Audrey's excited.
Oh, she is excited.
Audrey, quiet. I'll get you a copy.
Dogs get you a copy.
cooking in real life, you know. And I when I said the title, because the subtitle is delicious and doable recipes for every day. So that word doable sticks with me because I'm working on a cookbook concept for myself because I love my recipes. I love cooking. I love cookbooks. And but one thing that I can't relate to when I read cookbooks or when, and it's interesting to see people use ingredients from faraway lands and stuff. That is fascinating to me. But what I need is like real doable, like, girl, can I do this at home? Can I? And what I love when you write about your book and talk about it, you describe it as a collection of simple, delicious recipes for all the different reasons we cook: busy weeknights, family holidays, quiet nights in, and every moment in between. What is it about food that is so communal? Why does it take, like, I can make the same dish and sit in a dark room by myself and eat it. It would never taste the same as it would across from somebody who's telling me a hilarious story and we're cheersing with a glass of wine and bonding over it. What is it about that communal experience?
You know, I feel like if we knew, somebody would have bottled that up and just sold it for millions of dollars. But I think there's something about, it must just be the bonding that you get in being with people and having a moment of connection while simultaneously, like, literally nourishing yourself. I mean, not to get too woo-woo, but there's something.
Oh, go woo-woo. I love woo-woo. Go there. Let's get there.
I don't know. I think that there is, like, something that's very, like a deep connection that food can provide and that people can provide. And if you combine that, it's like the most nourishing thing you can do.
You know, and also, like, what I found is as I get older, I'm 44. It's like, it's happening, you know, and there are, like, recipes that I make, like just the other weekend, I was like, oh my God, you know what I haven't had forever is, like, this pork shoulder sauerkraut, like, crock pot thing my mom used to make. And I made it and it tasted exactly the way she made it. And it was like, in a very, like, not to be woo-woo, but in a very weird, small way, it's like she was there, you know?
Yeah, that's so nice.
Yeah. So food is a lot more than just like, oh, I need it to survive. You know, of course, right. It's this great pleasure, but it does, like,
that's connected to, like, memory too. Yes. Like some sort of sensory memory that can, like, transport you the same way. I mean, smells and food are so connected, obviously, but, like, the same way that a smell can bring you back to a completely other time in your life and you're, like, there instantly. I think food has that power too.
Absolutely. And I think about something you said too, that you learned from Ina was, like, you know, cooking a piece of salmon. Okay, great. Right. You learn how to do that. You know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But you said creating a dish, maybe what, 5 minutes ago here, you said the aspect of creating a dish that is so monumental. Now, have you let it sink in that, like, you've created these dishes that, like, no one's ever done before? You've this combination of these measurements of these ingredients, no one's ever done before. And now people will get this book, Cooking in Real Life, and replicate that. Like, does that blow your mind? It's almost like, for me, I'm trying to translate it. Like, if I told a joke on TV and then somebody, you know, shared that joke with their family later, it's got a life of its own at that point.
It's really, I mean, that's cooking in real life. It's like, you know, this is a cookbook that I've written and I've been working on this, but to see people make it in real life is the goal, but it's surreal. It's like, even a couple of people, you know, who have had early copies have sent photos, and it's like, I can't even describe how warm and fuzzy the feeling is of someone, like, giving somebody the tools to make this dish, having them make it, having them take a picture and share it, and not only, like, serve it to their family and friends, but be, like, proud of it. Mm-hmm. Is just like, it's the dream when you're writing a cookbook, and you'll have that experience too, I'm sure.
I hope so. So, and now, speaking of the cookbook, I have to know about the process because I'm so fascinated. So you decide you want to make this book, you have to sort of find the hook, right? Like, what is your version of the cookbook? And you have smartly leaned in to food that is, like, actually doable. I keep going back to that because it's so important to me. So why was that hook important for you?
You know, I wanted to make, there is this pressure to have a hook when you write a cookbook, and it's important because you want to be able to talk about what are you getting in the book and what kinds of recipes there are.
And you have to pitch it to publishers. Like, this is how I will do, because you have to have the one sentence sell of what the book is, right?
Yeah. And that is hard for me, but I felt like so many cookbooks have this specific angle. And for me, the reality of how I cook is that I'm always cooking something different. And it's so dependent on, like, the place. Who am I with? What's the occasion? What day of the week it is? What season is it? what ingredients can I find? And I think that actually the most useful cookbooks are the ones that are broad enough to kind of carry you through all those different moments and be this like companion for you in your real life, where you're not always making 5-minute meals. You're not always making these amazing spreads of roast turkeys. Like a real life is a combination of all of these different things. And I really wanted my book to be flexible enough and to have lots of suggestions and tweakable recipes for you to serve you in kind of all of those different moments. So I wanted something that was going to be realistic, but still inspired enough to feel special enough to serve to your family and friends.
Absolutely. And that's how the book feels and how the book reads is so doable, but also really elevated because you have such a, like a well-versed background in food. Now, then so they say, yes, you're going to get a cookbook. They green light it. Then you have to come up with how many recipes and how do you whittle it down to the amount that finally makes it into the book?
I mean, yeah, it's like 100 recipes and some books have even more. I mean, some books have like 130 recipes or even more. It's a long process. I mean, I think the beginning is actually harder because you have this like blank canvas of you could make any recipe in the world. And the more you've done, you can kind of say, oh, what am I missing? Like I'm missing a shrimp recipe or I'm missing a broccoli. Like think about the foods that people like that you want to include. So you have a nice, you know.
That's interesting. So you have a bunch of staples, you know, you want to put in, yeah. You lay it out and you look like, where are some holes that people might want? Like I have this ingredient in the fridge. What do I do with it?
Totally. And also you don't want to be, you know, we all have foods that we love and it's really easy to like be really repetitive because of the things that we love. Like for me, I love fruit. And if you look through this book, I was joking with my friend who has like basically an aversion to all fruit. She's like, I can't make anything in your book because there's fruit in every recipe. Like you have these preferences you don't even know that you have until you're writing a cookbook. So it's important to kind of zoom out and say like, how is this collection fitting together? It's almost like, I mean, I have no idea if this is like doing a fashion collection, but it's like you want everything to kind of feel cohesive and also cover like a broad range. So I would, you know, be working granularly on one recipe and then sort of zoom out and say, okay, like this is great. This is a rich, hearty pasta, but like I also need kind of a weeknight salmon that's on the healthier side. Mm-hmm. And I also want something that is completely plant-based because I don't want someone who is vegan to feel like they can't find anything in the book. So
interesting.
I think because my sort of like hook is really broad, I felt like the recipes had to, represent that.
And then let's talk images because the pictures in your book make me so hungry. Like if I'm hungry, I have to be very careful not to look at your book because I'll go to town. It is really stunning. And I'm wondering like how much input you have on that process.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that because the photos were so important to me. And as a cookbook author, you basically, I think in most cases, you are in charge of the photos from start to finish and hiring a photographer, working with a food stylist who makes the food look really beautiful and a prop stylist who picks the plate and the napkin. And I had an incredible team and Dane Tashima, who's my photographer, is just beyond talented. And he's so good, not only with food, but the like lifestyle element of the book. There are some pictures of people and there's some pictures of like table shots and little like vignettes from my home. He just made the book feel so homey and cozy and friendly, which was like exactly what I wanted.
Well, it feels like your fingerprints are all throughout it, which is exactly what you want when you're talking about somebody really cooking. You know what I mean? Like it's your personality throughout. And I feel like your food has that, the book has that, the images have that. What I love about the reoccurring theme in of what I know about you so far is that you like to, that you leap. You're not afraid to try, to leap, to do. And like, think about where that's brought you from college to Ina to, your writing skills, your cooking skills, and now this cookbook. Can I ask, like, what is the biggest thing that you learned now that you've made this book, this beautiful cookbook, when you step back and look at it? What do you know now that you didn't know when you started it?
Oh, I mean, I would love, that's such a hard question because now I just want to write a second book because I'm like, it was a big challenge, but it was also really gratifying to kind of work through the whole process. I mean, I think what did I learn?
What I ask you, the reason I ask it is because like when I wrote my first book was about my childhood. And like when I finished it, I stepped back and I was like, oh my God, like I realized it was all really about my father. You know what I mean? Like in a weird way, like sometimes when you're so in the minutia of creating a piece of art, you can't see it until you come back. So is there anything that like, that you learned about your relationship with food or that you kind of didn't realize in the moment, but when you look back at it from Google Earth, you see the whole
that, like, you know, what surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I started working on this book, I wasn't sure. I had a hard time describing the kind of food I like to make. And I think it's easier to talk about your friend and what they do and what they're like than to talk about yourself, because you're so wrapped up in, like, your own head. And I think having this collection and writing, just kind of letting myself be inspired by the recipes that I wanted to create and then having them all in one place has helped me kind of define my style of cooking, which is, like, very laid back. It's seasonally inspired, but it's not, like, fussy at all. It's very, like, I'm not going to use the D word again, but doable.
It's the, come on, lean into it. That's the word. Embrace it.
Lean in.
When I have my cook, when I have all my words put on my, that is the largest word on my, like, brainstorming
on your
board.
Yeah.
I mean, is doable.
And it's like, you know exactly what it means, because easy, quick and easy sounds, you know, kind of like, what is it? Like, doable is like, I could do that. And Absolutely. That is really, like, the spirit that I wanted my book to capture.
Well, I think you captured it. I think you should be really proud of yourself because, like, this is a monumental task to really, not only to complete, but to find your voice, you know, and to sort of say, hey, world, this is me. This is how I do it. And I think you've just done, that's why I want to talk to you, because, like, how do you do that? How do you go from having this thing you're drawn to then getting your foot in the door, establishing yourself there, being inspired by the right kind of people, and then leaping to do it yourself? You've actually done it. I think that is so much harder than people know. And I think it, but it's also, let's use the D word, it also is doable, you know? And so one last thing we'll do, we talk about doable. So you, all your recipes are doable, but I think also what you've done in life is doable. What piece of advice would you give to any of our listeners who are like, God, you know, I'm really drawn to something. I want to leap, but I don't know. Like, what would you say to them?
I would say, learn as much as you can about it. Like, if you want to work with someone, or if you want to do something, learn about it so you're prepared. And also just trust yourself and know that the biggest risk is that it doesn't work out and nothing changes. But if you have that temptation to try,
yeah,
I think you have to follow that intuition. And I know not everyone is like that. Some people are not risk takers, but I think if you are the kind of person who has that itch to take a risk, you should listen to that.
Totally.
Go for it.
You know what I always think too?
And also,
And also,
be delusional.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I also say too, like, I make peace with failure. So, like, if the worst possible outcome is that it totally fails, like, okay, great, next, you know, and that takes all the fear out of it. Well, I have to say, I just love your book. I really do. And I've been such a fan for so long. So whether it's in the New York Times or at Lighty Likes on Instagram, lightylikes.com, or the brand new book, Cooking in Real Life, Delicious and Doable Recipes for Every Day. It came out yesterday. You can get it everywhere. We'll put links out. But I'm just so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Honestly, thank you for being here. We'll be right back. Got lots more Hello Recipes on the way. And a big thanks to Lighty Hoyk. You can follow her again at Lighty Likes on Instagram. And thanks to you for listening. Bethy, well, I think she'll be back next week. If not, I have something else super fun and exciting for you. I promise. And I really want you to think about what kind of cookbook you would want for me if I make one. You know, I want to make it like a community sort of thing. Just like this whole recipes is a community, you and me getting together, being in the fight, talking, obsessing over food, sharing tips. I want the book to be that sort of thing too. Everything for me is an extension of the conversation. You know, recipes is a conversation. So how can we have that? We can have it on the website, in the Facebook group, on the podcast, on social media. And maybe the book is an extension of that too. So let's do it together. I'm Hella Ross on all social media. Reach out, say hi, ask me a question. Of course, I'm in the Recipes Facebook group every single day talking to you all. I love you and I thank you. And thanks for listening. You know, I'm on the journey with you. Okay, Bethy, come back. I miss you. I know. You know, I make fun of her. She annoys me all the time, mostly because she does. But I also love her, like, so much. Love you, Bethy. I'll see you all next week. Okay, it's hard by myself. Lonely. See you next week. Bye, guys.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.